If Mr. Darcy Dared, A Pride and Prejudice Variation Romance. Chapter 4. Inside, Longbourn had become a flurry of activity. Elizabeth scarcely slipped in through the back door to remove her boots when Lydia, her youngest sister, thundered down the back stairs with Kitty close on her heels. "Give them back! Give them back! I chose the pink roses," Kitty yelled. Lydia laughed and nearly escaped until Elizabeth held out her arms to brace for an impact. As she turned her face away from the general direction of Lydia, the collision stopped Lydia, but produced irreparable harm to the delicate pink shoe roses Lydia had held in her hand. "You ruin them," Lydia whined, as Elizabeth looked down at the crushed petals in her sister's hands. Lydia made a sound of disgust and thrust the flowers out to give them back to Kitty, who held up her hands in refusal.
"I don't want them now," Elizabeth scolded her youngest sister.
"Then you should not have stolen them from Kitty in the first place."
Elizabeth nodded to Kitty, who understood her older sister and dashed up the stairs to grab Lydia's white shoe roses before the most spoiled Bennet daughter could claim those as well. Lydia stamped her foot, but Elizabeth gently reached out to grab her arm.
"Do not let your temper get the best of you. You claimed the pink shoe roses and hold them in your hand. Pluck a few of the crushed petals and the bloom will be just as before," Elizabeth coaxed as Lydia pouted.
When the not-yet-16-year-old calmed and considered her elder sister's good sense, Elizabeth issued a last warning. "And leave Kitty alone." Lydia flinched and inspected the crushed blooms in her hand. If she removed some of the outside layers, the flowers would be as good as new, but she did not wish to admit such a defeat to Lizzie. Instead, Lydia stuck out her tongue and turned around to leave her sister alone in the kitchen. Elizabeth blew out a breath and traveled through the kitchen to the front of the house. She held no desire to run into her quarreling sisters by following them above stairs, as they likely blocked the way to her shared bedroom with Jane. Avoiding them, she had not thought to pause outside the dining room door to listen for voices on the other side. Since her cousin Mr. Collins came to visit after she and Jane returned from Netherfield Park, she had worked to avoid him as a general rule. To her chagrin, just inside the parlor was her cousin, Mr. Collins, in a low conversation with her mother. The two spotted her, and her mother called out,
"There you are, Lizzie. Mr. Collins here was just telling me he had searched the entire house for you and could not find you. I explained how he must have been mistaken, that none of my daughters would be rambling about the countryside with such an important evening ahead."
Bennet pronounced with a forced smile as her daughter looked down at the hem of her gown, clearly showing signs of dirt. Elizabeth kept her counsel. She wished neither to lie to her mother nor draw her irritation by confessing the truth. Shrugging her shoulders, she plastered a false smile on her lips and stared blankly at her mother.
"I aim to find you, Cousin Elizabeth, for in speaking with your mother, I have determined that I should like to open the ball with you for the first set,"
Mr. Collins announced as her mother squealed with delight. Elizabeth's smile melted with dread.
"How kind of you, Mr. Collins. See, Lizzie, Jane will dance the first set with Mr. Bingley, and you will dance the first with Mr. Collins."
Mrs. Bennet preened with pride as she practically took credit for the marriage prospects of her two eldest daughters. Ignoring the sour feeling in her stomach, Elizabeth's voice came out barely louder than a whisper.
"I'm afraid I must decline."
"Now, now, cousin, I know you relish a good tease." Mr. Collins still grinned like a fat pig presented with slop as he looked back to Mrs. Bennet for her approval.
"The ball is not even begun. Surely you cannot be spoken for."
Elizabeth slanted her eyes in her struggle for words. She could not believe her cousin would be so equally rude as he was dense.
"Did all gentlemen insult ladies so cavalierly? I assure you I do not jest. The first set is not mine to give." Mr. Collins began to breathe very heavily as he returned his focus to Mrs. Bennet. "Do you allow your daughters to make a mockery of their suitors? You warned me your eldest daughter was spoken for. Why did you not confess the same for your other?"
Mr. Collins began to grow very angry as Mrs. Bennet became flustered.
"I never said Jane was spoken for, just merely that she was very nearly spoken for by Mr. Bingley. As for Lizzie, she has no suitors. What trick are you playing, young lady? Either you will dance the first set with Mr. Collins, or you will not go at all this evening. Do I make myself clear?"
Mrs. Bennet admonished Elizabeth, who shook her head.
"But, Mama, I just agreed to dance the first set with Mr. Darcy.
If I were to dance the first with Mr. Collins, I would insult Mr. Bingley's good friend."
Elizabeth found herself surprised. She so vehemently did not wish to miss this evening, and defended her opportunity to dance with Mr. Darcy. Just moments ago, she still questioned the man's character. However, in a question of a Mr. Collins or a Mr. Darcy, even Elizabeth was no fool as to ponder such a comparison for long.
But, Mr. Darcy, that's nearly £10,000 a year." Mrs. Bennet struggled to contain herself at such a boon for her daughter, and nearly forgot Mr. Collins altogether. "Did you say you are to dance the first set with Mr. Darcy, a Mr. Fitzwilliam Darcy of Pemberley?" Mr. Collins asked icily, in a tone that Elizabeth mistook as mere jealousy that another gentleman had asked for her dancing company first.
"I believe he is the same."
Mr. Collins suddenly seemed delighted and clapped his hands together in an abundance of jubilation. "Oh, then I need not worry. Yes, cousin, you must certainly dance the first set with Mr. Darcy, for he is the nephew of my esteemed patroness, Lady Catherine de Bourgh. I have it on good authority that he is to marry her daughter next spring," Mr. Collins boasted. Mrs. Bennet began peppering Collins with questions about such a match, as Elizabeth began to feel lightheaded. Her entire body felt disconnected from the world around her, as she gently excused herself to ready for the ball. Both her mother and her cousin shooed her to do exactly that, and Elizabeth mindlessly climbed the stairs to her room. When Elizabeth reached the door jamb, the big fat tears that had welled with each step finally spilled in a cascade of anguish. Jane was nearly finished with her preparation and had turned to look at her younger sister with such joy, only to dash across the room to catch a crumbling Lizzie, absolutely stricken at the sight of her sister's tears. "What is the matter? Are you injured?" Jane asked, knowing her sister was not prone to tears without great cause. Elizabeth shook her head furiously. She sobbed unabashedly, safe in her sister's arms. She balled her fist to wipe away her tears, willing herself to stop. "I have been played most cruelly."
"By whom? Who was so cruel?"
Jane asked so innocently. "By the same man who always finds his sport with my feelings," Elizabeth sobbed, then clarified in case her sister was still unclear. "Mr. Darcy." Saying his name broke her spell of self-pity, and she pulled away from her sister Jane. Unsure of how to help her sister in this new painful situation, Jane froze, utterly dumbstruck, wondering how Mr. Darcy could have harmed her sister again. To her knowledge, Elizabeth had only taken a stroll and then came home. How Mr. Darcy had managed to enter into the day's plan, Jane could not figure. But she listened as Elizabeth shouted nonsensical declarations of how one moment the man was apologizing, sharing that he held a regard for her, and the next she learns he is engaged to another. And when Elizabeth finally exhausted all of her frustration and lay on their bed in exhaustion, Jane understood all that she needed to know. Somehow her sister had come to love Mr. Darcy, though Lizzie would never admit such a vulnerability to herself or others. It sounded to Jane as though Mr. Darcy might return those feelings, yet he was promised to his cousin. And now Mr. Darcy's rudeness earlier made sense. Any man pledged to another lady would take extraordinary measures to conceal his feelings for another, even if it was sudden and upon first sight. Disregarding a fear of wrinkles in her gown, Jane gently lay beside her sister and held her bedmate in a comfort only they provided each other. Jane admired Lizzie so much for her strength, stubbornness, and iron will in protecting others. But when insults or circumstances managed to penetrate her sister's impenetrable armor, Jane knew her sister to be the most sensitive of them all. "I'm so sorry you are pained, and you must dance with him?"
"Yes," Elizabeth choked out as her voice strained from her crying.
"He asked for the first set, and when I warned him that would bring expectations, he claimed he was unafraid." Jane frowned. This did not speak well of Mr. Darcy's character if he was betrothed.
"And it is his cousin he is to marry?"
"Next spring," Elizabeth let out with a wail as her tears threatened to start anew, and she cringed as tightly as she could to keep her wits. The two girls fell silent, regulating their breathing as one. When Jane thought Lizzie had calmed, she released her sister and sat up to see if Elizabeth had fallen asleep. She had not, and her red-rimmed eyes stared at her sister with desperate hope. "Perhaps," Jane began, startled to see Elizabeth held her breath. "Perhaps the match of cousins is not to either of their likings, and you will have to find a way to ask him about this tonight. Or, I could ask Mr. Bingley."
"No,
Do not breathe a word to Mr. Bingley.
As you wish, but I will be there to support you, and I know this does not bode well for Mr. Darcy, but just please consider this might not be as our cousin Collins describes.
Jane, he was quite clear. Her mother, his patroness, told him they were to marry.
Elizabeth groaned as she rose from the bed and availed herself of the washbowl on the vanity.
The cool cloth eased the stinging and swelling in her eyes as she held it there for relief.
That is dire, but think of our own mama. Remember when that man wrote me a poem and she was certain we were to marry?
Elizabeth's shoulders tensed at the recollection, a frightening one for them both, as they feared Jane leaving the house so young. But their father had run off the aging Mr. Woodyard, and the two never told a soul how he had touched Jane in a most private place so that she could not be forced to marry the monster. But the lessons learned had forged a heightened vigilance in both girls for each other. Neither would allow a gentleman to harm the other.
Jane left Elizabeth to her preparations with a promise to distract their mother and cousin so she could find some peace. But the empty room left Elizabeth too close to her thoughts and the day's emotional highs and lows that baffled her. Did she love Mr. Darcy if his opinions and fate bothered her so? Or was she merely a creature of vanity, so accustomed to being compared as less than to her more beautiful older sister? A compliment even from a man she did not hold in good opinion could ease that burden of inferiority. But then there were the feelings of when he physically touched her in some way, or when she fell into his arms on top of the summit. Elizabeth closed her eyes and again felt the internal heat of their connections burn a blush to her cheeks. When she opened her eyes once more in the looking glass, she spied a woman of her two decades with a secret smile of being smitten. However, in her mind and heart, Elizabeth Bennet had never been so unsettled in her needs and desires, and when she pinned the last blossom over her right ear, she finally understood perhaps heroines in novels were not so silly after all. The business of love and courting was absolute torture of the acutest kind.